This is really a very, very, very personal book.
Yeah, I guess I didn't set out to write a book. That I was working on another book that wasn't going very well, and this was kind of a diversion. I, for the purposes of the other book, had to flip back through memories, and I kept stumbling upon different memories of my dad or my brothers and I. And I would jot them down just for fun. And they came out really easily, and I found myself laughing out loud sometimes when I was writing. And so it was just a fun diversion at first. And then I cobbled together, they came out sort of as vignettes, and I cobbled together, I don't know, maybe 20 pages, 30 pages of those, and thought, well, I wonder if this would be an interesting piece for a magazine. And I queried a few places, no one was interested, but I sent it to my dad, and I immediately had a title. Confessions of a Fairy's Daughter, I think, came maybe before I had a sense that it was a cohesive piece. And I sent it to my dad with that title and said, what do you think? And he wrote back saying, well, I think it's very well written, but it was, I read it with mixed feelings because it was tough reading about your side of things. He didn't really know how hard it was for us then. We didn't talk to him about that. And he's, you know, it's tough when your private life and your sex life is made public. So, but he said he thought it was a great piece and that he, you know, if I wanted it, I had his blessing to publish it, but it didn't go anywhere. And then, but then a few years later, I came back to it because by then I was performing one-woman shows, and that material kept resurfacing in my mind as being particularly good material for a one-woman show, partly because my dad's very naturally theatrical, and partly because both my parents are musicians, and so I could just hear music weaving in and out of text, and I could just imagine it being a very lively and fun stage piece. Again, a one-woman show.
In terms of support for you, you ended up kind of bonding with a friend whose parents were having their own rocky situation, and that seemed to, it was a secret you kept for each other, and that seemed to have gotten you through.
Yeah, I think just having one person that you can cling to is, it's enough. It's all I had, so you just get through with what you have. But it was such a relief to be able to tell even one person. And then how interesting that she turned around with, she said, well, you think that's bad. Let me tell you what I'm going through. My dad's been having an affair for the last 12 years, and he even has a child with someone I'm not supposed to know about. And I was shocked. I mean, it was a relief. You know, that Schadenfreude or whatever you can name it. But it was because until then, because children of gay parents in that era, if our parents came out, meant we went in to the closet. Because then we were the holders of the secret, and we couldn't be out in our environment. My dad could be out in Toronto, and to an extent at Trent University, but I, at a high school in Peterborough, Ontario, no. There was no casually talking about my dad and my boyfriend and his boyfriend, no? So that's what happens, is then the child goes into the closet, and living in the closet is an agonizing existence.
You could have had Richard Monette as a stepdad. Which would have been, former director of Stratford Festival, amazingly talented man.
Yeah, and it was really funny how I learned that, because I didn't know anything about that affair that my dad had had. And we had just recently moved to Stratford, and I had just recently come into the possession of my father's box, this box that he gave me when I asked him. I was looking for maybe documents that would help me chronicle the history of the gay liberation movement of the time, because my dad came out at a really seminal point in history and gay history, and I thought that would be an interesting backdrop to my own personal story, and it would expand the narrative a bit and expand the story. And in response to my asking my dad about that, he presented me with a box that was full of personal documents, journals, letters, drafts of letters that he
diaries?
Had, yeah, diaries. Diaries, that noted in great detail what he'd been up to. I went through them and I transcribed everything. I read every word and put it into my computer, and then gradually pulled out what I felt would be his story in his own words and give, along with a few documents from newspapers and magazines that would set the tone of the time, that would give the setting. And I was finished, and then I went through the box, because the box was just crammed. There was no order to things, and there were, you know, pages folded one on another and so on. So the first job was just to sort of organize it and put it in chronological order and then figure out what had value and what didn't. And then I was going through it one last time, and I found this little blue exercise book, those ones we used to get at elementary school, and I thought, oh, this is funny. I don't know that I've looked through this. And I opened it up, and the first thing was, you know, this whole affair that he'd had with Richard Manette. And I delved into that and then had to come up for air at one point. I thought, oh, I'm going to take the dog for a walk. I just have to get some fresh air. So I went for a walk, and we just moved to Stratford, and we live right around the corner from the Festival Theatre. So I walked down my normal walk with my dog, and I walked down to the edge of the park and then turned in and looked up, and there was Richard Manette Way.
My dad took that street. The book is Confessions of a Fairy's Daughter, Growing Up with a Gay Dad. I've been speaking with the author, Allison Waring, and Confessions of a Fairy's Daughter, Growing Up with a Gay Dad, published by Knopf Canada.